Food and Wine Magazine's 2025 Restaurant of the Year is a small Hmong American restaurant in the Twin Cities. It's called Diane's Place.
And the chef behind it all, Diane Mua, grew up on a farm in Junction City in central Wisconsin.
Each week as a kid, Diane and her family would get up early in the morning and travel 2 hours south to Madison to sell their produce at the big Dane County Farmers Market.
The environment that she grew up in, the food, the culture, and the hospitality, it all inspired the vision for her restaurant.
Three-time James Beard Award finalist Diane Mua joins us now to talk about how her time in Wisconsin shaped her food journey and the possibility of someday bringing her talents back to our state. Diane, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go back to where your journey with food began. You grew up on a farm, I understand, near Junction City in central Wisconsin. What are some of your earliest of food memories there with the farm and your family?
You know, we ate a lot during the summer. We ate a lot of fresh veggies, not a lot of protein. I mean, protein, if we did, it's from the farm, but, you know, lots of veggies from the farm. Lots of, you know, even when my dad was growing ginseng, it was like, oh, let's boil chicken with some ginseng. Anything that grew, we ate. You know, I'm being introduced to red beets. We didn't grow up eating beets, but my parents were selling at the farmer's market. So there was a point in our life where we would just eat beets. So lots of veggies.
And you worked with your family selling produce at the Dane County Farmer's Market, a familiar institution to a lot of people listening. What are your memories from that really big farmer's market?
Oh, man. I hated the drive. I didn't love the drive there because it was so early.
Right.
It was a 2-hour drive for us, so we would have to get up really early. The drive there wasn't my favorite, but I love the farmer's market. It's like we would quickly try to set up so that we can go around and see what everyone else had. Even if it was just to buy coffee or pastries, it was very exciting to see what everybody else had to bring to the day. And, you know, a lot of the best parts was, you know, that at the end of the day when all the farmers talk and it's like, hey, can I give you some cabbage for some corn, you know? And it was just a lot of love, you know, a lot of love. And everybody knew it was hard work, but it was a beautiful farmer's market.
And I think you described your family home as kind of a hub for your local Hmong community. How did your family create that environment?
You know, in Stevens Point, the Hmong community there is pretty big. So my dad is a pretty well leader in the Hmong community. So, you know, when we're not at the farmer's market, we're on the weekends. My parents are either at somebody's house or they're at our house. Family is huge in the Hmong community. So we're always in groups.
And your parents, like many Hmong people in Wisconsin, settled in the Midwest after fleeing the Vietnam War, the wider war in Southeast Asia. What kind of things did they pass on to you from that experience? What kind of things did they maybe, protect you from?
You know, they tried to protect us. I mean, I remember growing up. So when my parents came to the U.S., they landed in Providence, Rhode Island. That was where our grandpa was, and we stayed together as a pack. So we ended up in Rhode Island. They worked really hard. My dad said within a month, they were both able to get a job. My mom was going to school. But the hard work, I really think that seeing my parents, how hard they worked, that it's instilled in me, you know, being able to be where I am now is because of my parents pushing me. When we were younger, my dad always said, you guys go to school, speak English. When you guys come home, you guys have to speak Hmong. And they're new to parenting. They're new to the U.S. But to me, I still feel like I'm, you know, I'm 43. And sometimes I feel like my English isn't good enough, nor is my Hmong good enough. So I'm like always in the middle where it's like Hmonglish. So they try to like make sure they're preserving the language. But at the same time, it was really hard for us because when you go to school, you speak English. When you come home, it's Hmong. But we learned really quickly that wasn't really sustainable, you know. Because it was really holding me back in school, too, because of the language barrier.
Now, when did you first start thinking you like cooking and, hey, this is a career for me?
Well, I always, when you go to any Hmong gathering, all the ladies are always in the kitchen. They're all helping each other cook. It was always fun to me. I love that part. I love meeting. I love having, like, you know, like I was just telling my boyfriend, I can't wait to get a house so we can start having house parties and house dinners. That was the best part of it. You go to somebody's house or they come to your house and everybody's in the kitchen, you're cooking, somebody learn a new dish. That was a really good part of like growing up and seeing that. And I still love doing all of that. So that I feel like, having the restaurant was really easy too, because I can relate to the two. I always tell people, come to the restaurant. This is, come in, let's take care of you. It's the same way of like when people come to our house.
What was your path from, liking cooking in this community through working, I think, at a lot of different restaurants to opening your own restaurant? What was that trajectory like?
It was really hard. I feel like the last maybe 6, 7 years was when I was like, wow, this is my world clashing together. Growing up, my parents always had people over, and whenever they come visit, it wasn't just, hi, how are you doing? It was like, come in, let's have dinner. I didn't really realize about the hospitality of that. It was just the same as a restaurant. I've been in the restaurant industry for 20 plus years, and there was a point I'm like, wow, I do this for a living. When we go to Hmong houses, we cook in masses. When you have a restaurant, you're cooking for, 120, 200 people for dinner. So the two really relates to each other, and being able to move two roles together was really refreshing to realize that, hey, I've been doing this my whole life. I just didn't realize it.
And you, in your restaurant career before Diane's Place, you didn't necessarily gravitate toward, hey, I'm going to cook Hmong food in particular. What kind of things did you seek out and get trained in?
I did pastry, so I was a pastry chef. I did plated desserts. Then I opened up a bakery with Gavin Kaysen. Then I did fine dining. Oh, it was a mash of everything, but I was very fortunate. I worked with a lot of amazing chefs. I was always curious when I worked at this Spanish tapas restaurant, Solera, as a pastry assistant, pastry chef, you always get cut. Meaning if the restaurant's slow, the pastry department's the first to go, right? So I really make sure that I learned how to work the savory line. I worked how to do the salad station. So I figured out that part early on in my career was I have to learn sweet and savory. And all the chefs I worked throughout my career, I learned a little bit here and there from all of them.
We're
So I was
talking
able to bring that a lot to the restaurant now.
to Diane Mua, executive chef and owner of Diane's Place in the Twin Cities. Diane, originally from central Wisconsin. All right, Diane's Place now, it's well, your name's right there. What was your vision when you were opening this restaurant?
The vision was basically to give back to the Hmong community, give back to my parents. I named it Diane's Place because I was the first child born in the US, and the people that sponsored us named me. So it's kind of going back to my roots. Being able to open the restaurant, we started brunch first because I was a pastry chef for 20 plus years. So, I wanted to really showcase the pastry, really showcase brunch. We were really busy when we opened, and then it took us almost 6, 7 months until we opened dinner, and it was a really highly anticipated restaurant opening. So, lots of stress there. But I always just wanted like a neighborhood restaurant, and what turns out a neighborhood restaurant that has been doing really good. So I'm really proud of the restaurant. I'm really proud of my team. But you don't open a restaurant to say, yeah, I'm going to win all these awards or get all these accolades. You open it because you just want to do the best that you can. For me, I wanted to open a really good restaurant where I can showcase my pastry, where I can showcase my Hmong heritage, and I was able to do that.
Right, you mentioned the pastries. What kind of Hmong dishes or Hmong influenced dishes are in the restaurant, especially when you, as you said, branched out into dinner?
We do dinner. I feel like we have more traditional dishes on brunch. You have your regular, like we have our Asian chicken noodle soup. We have our bean thread noodle, which is one of the first noodles I remember when growing up. Or any house you went to, they made this bean thread noodle because it was really simple and easy to make. But I feel like all the grandmas and aunties are so advanced now with YouTube and making noodles. So every time you go, they have like a different high-end pad thai or something else. But this bean thread noodle is one of the very first noodles that I remember the Hmong ladies cooked when we went to anybody's house. So that's on the menu. Dinner, we have like our Asian pulled pork, which is a very traditional Hmong dish. We have our steamed pork rolls. We have a duck stew that is normally made with game meat. So it's usually with deer or squirrel, but at the restaurant we make it with duck.
Are there Hmong dishes that, for people who are not Hmong or who are Hmong but haven't cooked a lot, are there good gateway recipes or dishes you recommend people get started with when they want to start exploring Hmong cooking at home?
Yeah, I guess one of the most simple dish I have is, if you take some pork, can be pork shoulder, you just chop it up in little cubes. You get some water going, you throw a little lemongrass in there, throw your pork in it, cook until it's cooked. And then you take mustard green, which you can get at any Asian store. You get mustard green, you wash it, make sure your pork is cooked. You take the greens, cut it up, bite size, throw it in this pot, salt, pepper. That's like a very traditional light pork and mustard green stew.
I always love asking chefs because the answers, there's such a wide variety of answers. When you're cooking for yourself, you're on your own time, what kind of things do you tend to gravitate toward?
Oh my God, I love I just came back from an early Thanksgiving from my brother's house in Madison, and my sister-in-law made a dish of pork mustard greens that the greens were from my parents' farm. And to me, I mean, we had turkey, we had egg rolls, we had everything. But to me, that was me. It's like it's very homey, it's very comforting. And I think I ate like five bowls of that. So either the pork or chicken. I just love, Hmong cooking is very, very simple. And so to me, if I'm on my day, if I have a day off, I'm eating either a poached chicken with just a little lemongrass, salt, and pepper, or my traditional pork with mustard green.
I've also interviewed in the past Ya Vang, who grew up just a little to the south of you, I think, and went on to restaurant success in the Twin Cities. What would it take to get some of our central Wisconsin-born great Hmong chefs to open restaurants on this side of the Wisconsin-Minnesota border?
I think it will happen. It might happen soon. I always joke that if I was to ever open a next spot, it would be in Madison, Wisconsin, because I think that city is so amazing. But I think maybe once we're less busy, we can consider it. But Wisconsin is not out of the picture for me.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned you didn't open a restaurant to win awards. When you do get that kind of recognition, national recognition in some cases, what does that mean for you as a restaurant owner and a chef?
It means so much. I mean, it means so much to me, the community, my team. I wouldn't be here if my team, everyone's like, I always tell my team, it's not just about the food, it's about the experience. So when people come and eat, yes, if the food is not great, but they had a good service, likely they might come back, or vice versa. If the food is really good, the service might not be good, but this might still come back. But imagine if the food is good and the service is good, So that's what we strive to do and what we strive for. And I hope we keep doing it. But just to put like a small Hmong restaurant on a national level, it's pretty amazing.
Speaking of the team there, I'm a guy. I love to cook at home. I think I would just instantly fold under the pressure of working in a restaurant kitchen. How in what I imagine can be a high pressure environment of performing at a high level each and every day, how do you keep a good team atmosphere going at your restaurant?
Support, making sure that they feel supported. If you ever see me at the restaurant, I'm not just in the back kitchen. I'm on the floor, helping clear, greeting guests. I think it's very important as a leader that you have to lead by example. Like I always say, I don't have my staff doing anything that I don't want to do. If I'm not going to clean, if it is beneath me to clean, sweep, or mop, why should I expect them to do the same? So I really lead by example, and I hope, I don't know, this is my first time running a restaurant, but every restaurant I've worked at, I was really proud to work at the places where I've had, and I hope I can create this restaurant where people are proud to work at. And so far, we're doing really good.
If there's somebody in Wisconsin listening now, a young person who grew up with food, loved cooking, is thinking, hey, maybe I want to pursue this dream of a restaurant, what would be your advice to them to pursue that path?
I would say find a restaurant that you really like, call them up and just say, hey, I really think I like cooking. I cook a lot at home. Is there any way I can hang out with you guys one day just to see how you do things? I always say we call it in the restaurant industry a stage. But coming for a stage, you know, it could be a few hours. Back in the day, it used to be 8 hours, but it's up, totally up to you. But when we bring people in the stage, it's usually an hour or two. And basically, it's a test run to see if this is something you really want to do before you invest in the money to go to culinary school.
Diane, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Diane Mua is executive chef and owner of Diane's Place, an award-winning Hmong American restaurant in Minneapolis. She joined us to talk about her journey from a Wisconsin farm to big city restaurateur.